Your speaker of the hour, Eddie Kraft.
Matthew chapter 7. Now we're going to look at the end of one of the greatest sermons that has ever been presented to mankind. And that is the Sermon on the Mount. That sermon began back in chapter 5. And it goes through chapter 7 of the book of Matthew. And our Lord is the teacher. Now, He did, as it was His custom. He sat down and the audience stood up. Now, I don't think we'll try that this morning, even though Clayton Winters did one time. He got a chair and set it beside the pulpit and quoted the Sermon on the Mount, and the congregation stood as He did that. Now, Jesus oftentimes would sit down, and the people would stand on the shore or other places. I've got a sermon I'm working on now entitled, Are You Standing on the Shore? And that idea is standing there listening to the Word of God Almighty and then following it. I want to look at the end of the sermon because I want us to think about the two hearers that Jesus is discussing. Now, I want you to know this morning that you fall into one of two categories. You're going to hear what God's Word says and you're going to do it, or you're going to listen to what God says and you'll walk out of here and you'll do what you want to. Those are the two kinds of hearers, and the only two kinds of hearers that they are in this world. And we got to understand that what kind of hearer we are will determine where we're going to be in all eternity. Jesus, in bringing this sermon to its conclusion, in verse 21, said, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now you might want to circle that word, will. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Our Heavenly Father has a will. And that will must be followed. And the hearer that is going to follow the will is the hearer that will listen to the Word of God and follow the will. And so not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. For many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. Notice their words. Not only do you have God's will, but you have the words of men. Many will say to me at that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done all of these things? And so the Lord is going to be confronted when He brings His will to fruition with man's words that will say many things. But I want you to notice verse 23. But then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity. Notice their works. Here you have the will of God, the words of men, and the works of men, and the work was iniquity. Even though they thought in their heart they were casting out devils by the power of God, and in His name they thought they were doing many wonderful works. To find out, He said, I never knew you. And so it's important that we understand this morning as we open His Word that there are two kinds of hearers, not just people that say stuff and make accusations or claims, but those that genuinely follow His will. Now watch. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came. And the winds blew, and they beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. But now watch him. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass that when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine. For He taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes and the Pharisees. Now I want you to notice that Jesus said there's two men. Both of those men heard what God said. And we talked a lot this morning in our Bible study about what God said and the things upon which it's the basis of. And God said, And one man heard what God said and did it. The other man heard what God said, but he didn't do it. And God said, the man that hears these sayings of mine and he does them is like a wise man, a wise master builder that builds his house on the rock. But the man that doesn't hear or doesn't do what I say is like a foolish man. And he builds his house upon the sand. And so when the things beat upon that house, it's going to fall. Now I want you to understand that our Lord here underscores the value of the right kind of hearer. The one that hears and does. And the religious world today makes a great deal of statements and sayings relative to the fact there's nothing you need to do in order to be saved. Well, the Lord refutes it in the very beginning. You won't begin far in your New Testament to hear the Lord say, you better hear and you better do what my Father says. Because if you don't, you'll build your house on the sand and you take it to the bank. It will fall. And so it will be great, the fall of it. So we need to build our house on the rock this morning. We need to be the right kind of hearer. Now if you'll turn to the book of James, and if you'll look at some statements in chapter 1, notice the similarity. Now if you can't help but notice when you're reading the book of James, how well it correlates with what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. And if you think about it, those that are in the know tell us that the writer of this book was the fleshly brother of Jesus Christ. But I know a long time ago, when I started reading the book of James, I thought that sounds a whole lot like the Sermon on the Mount. And how that he had seen from the words of Jesus the value of being the right kind of hearer. And so this morning as we think about this, I want you and I to ask, what kind of hearer am I? Am I the kind of hearer that I hear what God's Word says? I may read it from time to time, but when I leave from the study of the Word of God or the reading of the Word of God or the hearing what God said, I walk away doing whatever it is I want to do. Living my life the way I want to live it, regardless of what God says. Well, we have to answer for that, and we're not the right kind of hearer. So let's watch what the Bible says relative to this, beginning there in about verse 17. James said, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will. You see, there's that will of God. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. The word begat is the idea of a birth. Someone is begotten. And so he is born through this process of truth. He says he hath begotten us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. Wherefore, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Now, I want you to notice, now he's not talking about just being swift to hear everything under the sun. He is saying we need to be swift to hear, but we need to be selective in our hearing. His brother Jesus, while on earth, said, be careful what you hear. Take heed how you hear, and take heed to what you hear. And so our Lord was very careful to point out that we don't need to be listening to just everything that comes and goes, but that we need to be swift to hear the Word of God. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. And so then, slow to wrath. Then he says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, watch it, which is able to save your souls. And then he is very careful to follow the same instruction that our Lord gave in this Sermon on the Mount as he brings it to a conclusion. James goes on here to say, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So you see here James says the same thing his brother said prior to this, when he said, I want you to be a hearer of the Word of God and a doer. And so James says, I don't want you just being swift to hear the Word of God and then leaving as if you have heard nothing. But I want you to be swift to hear, and I want you then to understand that it's not good enough to just be hearers only. But when you do that, you deceive yourselves. And I think it's a tragedy. And probably the most dangerous thing you'll ever face in life is self-deception. You see, you can deceive yourself. I can deceive myself. Those folks in Matthew 7 had deceived themselves. Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Why, it is in your name that we cast out devils. It's in your name that we've done all of these things. And he said, I never knew you. See, they were deceived. Because they had heard the word of God, but they were not doers of it, but they were doing what they thought they ought to do. And the Lord says, I never knew you. James says, don't be just hearers of the word and not doers, because if that's the case, you're deceiving yourself. If you think that it's sufficient to just hear the word of God without being a doer. Now look at verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a natural man which beholdeth his face in a glass. He beholdeth himself and he goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, stop there a moment. James uses the word of God as a glass, a mirror. Anybody happen to look into a mirror this morning? How many of you just came here this morning looking the way you looked when you first got out of bed this morning? Raise your lying hand. Let me see it. Son, it took a lot of work for some of us to look this good. I'm telling you. Why, I'd have scared you to death if I'd have come over here looking the way I looked when I first got up this morning. These curls all messed up on my head. I mean, you'd have been scared to death. It scares me sometimes to look in that mirror the first time of a morning, because I know what I'm going to see. And it takes a little effort to get busy, to make ourselves look the way we want to look, at least as good as we can, so that we can go out. Somebody told one of our cameramen the other day, said, Eddie looks fatter on TV than he does in person. The guy said, we can only do what we got to work with, man. Listen, we can't make him look any better. But the thing is, the idea is, James said, you take the Bible and it's like looking into a mirror. It's like looking into a mirror. Now, we look into a mirror for investigation. We're investigating. We want to see what needs to be put where and what we need to do so that we can be presentable. Then not only do we see it's a mirror, when we look into it, it's for investigation, but it's in for restoration. We want to try to restore this thing as good as we can so we can be presentable. And then it involves transformation. We transform ourselves into looking the way that we want to look, presentable as we go out into the public place. And so the mirror is the Word of God. Now James says that those that hear the Word of God and they don't do it, they're like the fellow that looks in the mirror. He looks into that mirror, and then after he looks, he goes his way and he straightway forgets what manner of person he was. Now let me tell you something. When I got out of bed this morning and I looked in that mirror, I didn't go my way and forget what I just saw. I realized there was something that had to be done about this. I've got to get busy. I don't have a lot of time to get it done. And so here is the Bible. God's mirror. And James said, don't look into that mirror and then walk off and forget what you just saw. I want you to look into that mirror and I want you to see. I want you to investigate. I want you to understand the restoration and transformation that needs to take place in your life so you can be presentable as a child of God to a lost and dying world. And so don't be a forgetful hearer, walking away, forgetting what manner of man he was. The Scripture says, he beholdeth himself, he goeth his way, and immediately, straightway, forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Now look at this. Looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues to look therein. He continues every day to look into the mirror and make the changes that need to be made so that he can present himself unto God. So he can present himself out into a lost and dying world. Listen, folks, when I look into this mirror and I dress up and I pretty up and I get the way that God wants me to be, I become a mirror to you. You look at me and you see that this is the way I need to look. Not because of who I am, but the person God has made me. It's not who I am, but it's the Christ that lives inside of me. You see, the Bible says you let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. And so we become a mirror. The only mirror that a lot of folks will ever look into is the mirror according to you. And what do they see? Do they see a guy that calls himself a Christian, but acts quite differently? Do they see a man that hears the Word of God but is not doing it? He's going through some motions and actions and claimings and a lot of words, but no soul and heart into it? Or do they see a shining light? Do they see the city set on a hill that cannot be hid? Do they see in you what they need to be and the changes they need to make in their lives? And he said, you look therein. And you don't be a forgetful hearer, but you be a doer of the work. Then he says, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any among you seem to be religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion. Undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and keep oneself unspotted from the world. Friends, listen. The Word of God becomes my mirror. It becomes a mirror, and I look into that mirror, and I see this needs to be touched up. This needs to be made better. I can improve in this area. I want to look as good as I can look as a child of the King so that I can be presentable. And I need to continue to do that. Every day there needs to be improvements. Every day there needs to be changes. Every day I need to walk in His grace and in His mercy. You see, we can make ourselves better by following His will. What kind of hearer are you? Are you the kind of hearer that looks into the perfect law of liberty and then you turn and straightway you forget what you just saw? Are you the kind of person, you look into that law and you see the things that need to be made better and you begin to follow the teachings, the instructions, the guidelines of the Word of God so that you can do that? Let's just notice how this made a difference in the lives and hearts of men. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 24. And I want you to listen as the Bible describes one of the men in the New Testament that had the greatest privilege that anyone could have. And that's hearing God's Word being taught. And I want you to watch what he does with it. Because I want you to see the kind of hearer. Now remember, there's only two kinds. There are those that hear the Word of God and they do it. And there are those that hear the Word of God and they don't. And we've already seen what God says relative to their house. Now I want you to look, and we'll begin our reading in Acts 24:22. It says that when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way. Now that way is talking about the way of Christianity. So he had a more perfect knowledge of Christianity. And so it says he deferred them, and he said, when Lysias, the chief captain, came down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a certain centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister or to come unto him. Now watch verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul, and he heard him concerning the things of the faith in Christ. He did what? He heard. He heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now that is, he heard the teachings of Christ. He heard the gospel of Christ. He sent for him, and he heard the things that were concerning the faith in Christ. Now let me tell you something. That's got to be a preacher's delight. When someone sends to him and said, I want you to come, and I want you to preach the things concerning the faith in Christ Jesus. So you've got to be careful about that request because the preacher just might do it. And on this occasion, Paul accommodates the request. And it says, now watch. He had a very powerful three-point sermon. Watch what he said. And as he reasoned of righteousness, point number one, of temperance, point number two, and the judgment to come, point number three. Now there's a three-point sermon. Now, it doesn't reveal to us all that Paul said to him on those three points. I got a sneaking suspicion that he didn't just talk, say righteousness and say temperance and judgment and go on. He talked about each one of those points. And if you go back and study the history of this man, Felix, you're going to learn that that was three points he needed to hear. Paul didn't just go down there and scratch his ear. Paul did not go down there and tell this man what he wanted to hear. But instead, he preached to him the things he needed to know, the mirror that he needed to look into to change his life. You see, Felix wasn't too good on righteousness. One of the things he did not excel in was temperance. And the one thing he wasn't ready for is the judgment that was going to come. How did it affect his life? The Scripture says he shuddered. He shuddered. The King James here says he trembled. That means he shuddered. He shuddered. When's the last time the gospel so touched you that you shuddered? You trembled. Now, gospel preachers have seen folks hold on to the back of the pew till their knuckles turn red for fear of responding to the Lord's invitation. They were hearers but not doers. The message got in his heart. He trembled when he heard it. He knew he was applicable to him, and he knew he ought to do something about it. But you know what he did? You would have thought by the fact that he trembled and said, "Go thy way. Go your way, Paul, for this time. And when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you." Postponed his obedience. The biggest mistake you'll ever make is postponing your obedience when you know you ought to obey. You may never have another opportunity like this. Who knows? But what we're brought together this morning for such a time as this, for us to hear the things we need to hear, to make the correction we need to make, looking into that perfect law of liberty so that we don't just tremble and shudder, but we obey His gospel. This man heard what God said. He made the application to himself to the point he trembled, he shuddered, and yet he did not obey. Immediately he forgot what manner of man he was. Even though he had the opportunity to look into that perfect law of liberty. Just turn a few pages over to chapter 26 of the book of Acts. And let's notice another man. This man, of course, was another person of authority, King Agrippa. And in verse number 27, Paul is again before these authorities. And he says to King Agrippa, "Believest thou the prophets?" And before, as it seems, he could even give an answer, he said, "I know you do." Wow. What an affirmation of fact. I know you do. This is not about preaching a sermon on do you believe the prophets. Obviously, you believe the prophets. But you see, believing the prophets and obeying the prophets is a different story. You believe them, but have you obeyed them? Now watch carefully. Agrippa, after hearing that, Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost. Here's a man that heard the word of God, and no telling how close he was, almost is but lost. Almost is but to fail. Almost but lost. So near and yet so far away was this man. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul said, "I would to God that not only you, but all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether as I am, except these bonds." You see, here are two men that heard what God said, and they did not do it. I wonder what they would say today. If I could step down from the podium and sit where I was sitting there a moment ago, and let King Agrippa stand before us. Let Felix stand before us. I wonder what they would say. Do you suppose that just possibly they would talk about don't postpone your obedience, don't be almost persuaded? You see, they've had 2,000 years of eternity to think about being a hearer only, and the ultimate end and the consequence of that is far too great. Then I want to pay. I want to be a hearer of the Word of God and a doer, don't you? And not just one that listens to God's Word but doesn't do anything about it. Look at Acts 9. I want you to listen again. This time there was a fellow there by the name of Saul of Tarsus. You're introduced to him at the conclusion of chapter 7 of the book of Acts. And then you read more about him in the 8th and 9th chapters. And here this man was on a missionary journey of destruction. He's trying to go all over the world, find Christians, put them in prison, have them killed, stamp out Christianity. He is on a missionary journey of destruction to the Christian religion. And then in Acts 9, a very unusual occurrence, Saul on his way to get letters from Damascus to cast men and women into prison, as was his custom, breathing out threatenings and slaughters. And the Bible says in verse 3, as he journeyed and came near Damascus, suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth. He heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now watch. And he trembling, I believe we've talked about that, haven't we? Trembling, hearing God's word and trembling. He trembled. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I have heard you. I believe you. Now, what do you want me to do? Jesus said, Arise and go into the city, and there it will be told thee. Listen, what thou must. Day, the Greek word is must. It is necessary for you to do. And Saul said, Oh, I can't do that. I got to get letters and get you... No. Now he's eager to obey. You see, Saul is not going to tremble and just be a hearer only. What will you have me to do? Jesus said, You go to the city of Damascus, wait there, and you'll be told. The story goes on of how he informs Ananias that he's to go preach to Saul. And when he goes and preaches to Saul, the Bible says that he arose and was baptized and had his sins washed away, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16. You see, here was a man that heard the word of God. He trembled, but he obeyed it. And as far as I know, he obeyed it the rest of his life. He looked into God's perfect law of liberty every day. And he wasn't a forgetful hearer, but he was a doer of the work. And as a result of that, he was a man who was blessed in his deeds. Chapter 10 talks about Cornelius. And the story is similar. The first Gentile converts, they heard the word of God. You send down to Joppa, to Simon the tanner. In his house there's a man by the name of Peter. Send for him. He'll come and tell thee words whereby thou and all of thy house may be saved. And you can just proceed through the book of Acts and read of where there were those who heard the word of God and didn't do it. And those who heard the word of God and they did it. And you'll see the difference in their lives. You'll see the difference in eternity.